Episode 14, Women's Body, Everybody's, or Nobody's Business? Hey humans, how are you doing? How is your body doing? And how is your relationship with your body doing? Isn't it weird to have a relationship with your body? This is something that only happens to you. All other animals on the planet have bodies, but they do not create this division between them and their bodies. They simply are their bodies. Okay, maybe some dogs and cats do bite and chase their own tails, and that is a funny weird mystery. But you, humans, look like some kind of intelligence that was put in a body and is struggling with it. Most of you would like to change something in your bodies, even though they are working perfectly. It is all about its appearance, not functionality. This is funny because you all brag about being the species with a big brain, capable of complex rational thinking, but rely on appearances to make a lot of decisions, including finding a life partner, just like peacocks. I mean, just like peahens, the female peacock, because she is the one who chooses her partner based on size, color, and quality of the male's feather trains. But among humans, the females are the ones who are judged and defined by how they look. Yes, of course, nowadays, even men are way more worried about their looks. But their body image issues are more related to the self-obsessed culture that has been skyrocketing, with more and more people striving to reach beauty standards of photoshopped images, Facetune effects, and Instagram filters. So, yes, some men, especially younger men, are also obsessed with their bodies, but it cannot be compared to what happens to women. For starters, all men own their own bodies. Do you think women really own their bodies? I don't think so, because female human bodies seem to be a public, not a private matter. Women's bodies must be suitable for roles they are expected to have in society and follow some guidelines. First, they have to be sexually desirable to men. Second, they have to be able and willing to create, deliver and nourish a baby. Third, be in compliance with all standards of beauty for women, of specific culture and time. And fourth, have to be covered with clothes and accessories that your society finds appropriate for each occasion. In order to fulfill those roles, women live in constant battles against their own bodies. How? Well, with a non-stop loop of trimming, dyeing, containing, moisturizing, exfoliating, washing, dieting, shaving, painting, cutting, hiding, exercising, massaging, elongating, covering, highlighting, compressing, brushing, removing, plucking, and the list goes on. For each piece of a woman's body, there are crazy amounts of tools for grooming and beauty products to enhance, fix, correct, shape. Just for the eye area alone, there are moisturizers to prevent wrinkles, serums to fight puffiness, creams to fight dark circles, eye sleeping masks, under eye patches, hair removal or trimming tools for eyebrows, mascara, curler for eyelashes, eyeshadows, set of different brushes, eyeliner, eye pencil, products to grow eyebrows and eyelashes, eye highlighter. Exhausted? This is just for the eye area. This is overwhelmingly excessive, especially if you ask, what are the products most men use on a daily basis? None. Zero. Nada. Exactly. That's my point. Men can just have a body and even obsess about it if they want to. It's not an obligation. Only women have this cultural obligation to make their bodies follow a gigantic list of guidelines and keep it under control. Under a lot of control. But under whose control? Everyone's. Body shaming is an activity in every culture that consists of pointing out something wrong, ugly, and inappropriate about a woman's body. A woman that goes to a wedding, to a meeting in an office, or to a dinner party without the appropriate makeup, hair, clothes, shoes, and purse is going to get a backlash that might interfere in her career, social status, and relationships. This is absurd, isn't it? Yes. And also true. But that does not stop at the body's appearance. What women do with their bodies is also under constant vigilance and criticism: how they walk, how they behave, how much sex they have, and what kind of sex, their pregnancies, their relationship with their own baby, their choice of not having a baby. Everything is under scrutiny and, for each detail about a woman's body or what she does with it, every religion, culture, and society has a saying, a rule, and a price for women to pay, in case they decide not to obey. None of this happens to men. For example, all name-calling for women that enjoy having a lot of sex is an offense, but all name-calling for men with the exact same behavior is a compliment. Nevertheless, some will say that this is not true. That things changed and women are treated equally now. Are they? When most parents find out their teenage son had sex, do they have the same reaction to the news their teenage daughter had sex? There is of course the fact women can get pregnant, but, is this the propeller of such a negative reaction from parents? Do not seem to be. From where I sit, it looks like the teenage girl's body is not hers, and besides belonging to society, it also belongs to her family. It is very interesting to see men's reactions to their daughter's sexuality. The more a father gets angry with his daughter having consensual sex, the worse is his idea of a woman's role in society. Only a man that reduces women to sexual objects sees his daughter's sex life as a man taking advantage and abusing her. Because, that's probably what he did. What else would a guy want from a woman? Is what this enraged father would ask. Okay, I have just painted a quite horrible, but yet real, scenario of women's life on Earth. So, I guess the big question is, why do women accept and follow these horrible roles? Why don't they rebel against it then? One thing I found out is that, these guidelines of what a woman's body should look like or how they should behave, are imprinted in everyone's brains. It is called culture. Yeah, cultures can be bad. And, since women are part of this society, they are also under its influence, which means they end up not only following it, but reinforcing it. So becoming a sexy body for male consumption, shaving your legs, and trimming your personality to fit the appropriate social behavior, is something the majority of women do, while judging those who don't. Who would want to go against it all, and be left out of their social group? This is one of the biggest human fears, isn't it? Being left out, excluded, rejected? Especially since, we are talking about changing this idea of women's role in society, which is the primordial, and, most persistent prejudice of humanity, with deep roots in almost all human cultures. There is nothing new about this. Women's place in society has been questioned before, by great thinkers. The problem is that, the changes, are coming at a very, very, slow pace. In 1949, Simone de Beauvoir released the book called, The Second Sex, pointing out that men, fundamentally oppress women, by characterizing them, on every level, as the other, defined exclusively in opposition to men. In her words, men are the subject, women the object. He creates, acts, invents, she waits for him to save her. She concludes that, in defining a woman exclusively as other, man is effectively denying her humanity. Unfortunately, this book is still relevant, not to understand the past, but the present. This idea of women as the other, that exists only to please and satisfy man's needs, is not a feminist delirious. It is a cultural fact. The most well-known proof of it is in another book. A very special one, that rules most Western society's culture until this day, the best-selling book of all times and the first to be printed, the Bible. There, it says that, first, God created a man, Adam. Then, since he was lonely, God created Eve, to be Adam's companion. But, God did not create the woman, Eve, from scratch, just as he did with Adam, he, got one of Adam's ribs and, from it, created Eve. All the ideas behind this story are quite remarkable. Honestly, they are not behind anything, they are right on your faces. It makes it clear that, the only reason for the woman's creation, was to please the man, therefore, revealing women's place in society. It also says the first woman was created with one of Adam's ribs, which is something that is implying three things. First, she is not his equal, because he came first, created entirely from dust by God, whereas she came from his rib. Second, since she came from a piece of Adam, she belongs to him, so she is not an autonomous being. Apparently, she could not have looked at him and said, "Hell no." I do not like you, Adam. I will go live on the other side of the Garden of Eden, don't call me. And third, it shows a male taking from a female, their most undeniable biological characteristic, that is, giving birth. This is a female superpower, and the first book from Western society states the opposite, going against biological facts, and saying that a man, with the help of God, gave birth to a woman. By the way, making God, the Creator, the one that gives birth to everything on this planet, a male figure, is also a gigantic denial and attempt to subvert the female role in society. Dr. Freud wrote about the penis envy theory, but, if the foundation of Western civilizations had not been based on the Bible, and its suppression of female power, things would have been different. Maybe then, he would have written a thesis about uterus envy. The author of this Bible parable, definitely suffered from it. Especially because, besides giving two male figures the power of giving birth, he also chose Eve to be the one responsible for their expulsion from paradise, characterizing the first woman as a troublemaker, sinful sidekick. Isn't it quite similar to what we hear today about women? When a woman is raped or abused in any way by a man, there are always those who raise the misogynistic question, but have you seen how she was dressed? It is pretty clear that this culture of objectification, oppression, and judgment is alive and well. Of course, many horrible things are happening with other groups of people, animals, the planet itself. But the fact it is still happening towards women is unbelievable because women are your mother, your sister, your wife, your daughter. If you humans cannot respect and cherish the differences between males and female human beings, which is what gives birth to yourselves, how could you possibly handle any other differences in your society, and in the world you live in? You could not, and you don't. Examples are everywhere. On the news, your workplace, streets, in your family, in your church. In spite of this, lots of women have been able to enjoy life. Within all those constraints, following these social guidelines. I suppose being able to adapt is an important survival skill. But, for other women, these obligations are unbearable and make them miserable. They choose not to comply and use another survival skill, resist. Resisting, revealing how it feels to be treated as the second sex, as an object, as an inferior gender, and demanding justice, has been important to get media attention and promote changes. However, right now, in this same planet, era, and age, even though some women are empowered and respected, we still have women held captive, sold as sex slaves. I find it really disappointing that humanity does not evolve at once, altogether. Wouldn't it be great if you all could get an upgrade and evolve at the same time? But, no. You just do not operate like this. Humanity's evolution is definitely not a single movement forward. It resembles more a wave, trying to reach the fluffiest sand on the beach. The waves in the front are leading the way, but they lose force if they do not move backward to bring the rest of the sea force with them. The mission is only accomplished with a lot of going back and forth. This is the movement. It makes me dizzy, but I guess it makes you human. This is also the end of this episode, but I might come back here to revisit it and see if I can go further on this topic with the back and forth, just like you do. See you next time. Cheers.